almost 40 years ago. I was preparing for a funeral that I had the honor of being at this past week down in Killam. And I was looking for some particular scriptures to share and ended up looking through a folder I have of previous funerals. And I came across a service for Granny Broughton from Hughenden, who passed away in 1984. And she was 89 years old and had been a widow for 50 years. The meditation for that service was from 1 Timothy chapter 5, as we propose there that Granny Broughton was deserving of special honor, as she fit the description of a true widow, or as the King James Version would put it, a widow indeed. A true widow would be over 60 years of age, known for her hospitality and care for others, but is left alone and has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. These are true widows, according to Paul. And Paul instructs that they are worthy of church support if needed and are worthy of honor. Well, these were not the verses I was looking for this other occasion, but they did stir my thoughts and inspired me to pursue this topic for this message today. Who is deserving of honor? Well, Romans 13, verse 7 says, "Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." So I want us to look a bit today at what the Bible has to say about who we should honor. Well, we've already mentioned the elderly, the widows. But I have a verse for the men. Now mark this down. It is in the Bible. You can find it, and you need to be able to refer to this sometime. It's Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the presence of an old man, and you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord." There, it is in the Bible. You're supposed to respect the gray-headed people. Now, some cultures are much more aware of this custom than ours. My wife had the privilege of visiting Korea with what we call our adopted daughter, Ine. And she told me that whenever she got on a bus there, even though they were crowded, the younger people would immediately jump up and offer her a seat. And Ine explained to her, "It's because you're older." Isn't that nice? I believe it's good for our children to be taught these courtesies, and also to learn to listen and to show respect to the elderly, to show true value and honor to our aged is to value what they value. Now, I was reading my sermon notes from the message that I shared at Granny Broughton's funeral, and I was kind of surprised at what I said there. Maybe I was younger then and had more nerve, or I don't know. But this is what I shared at Granny Broughton's funeral. You say you come here to honor the memory of this princess, this child of the heavenly King of Kings. I ask you, have you heeded her advice? She went through a lot. She learned a lot. She became convinced that the only thing that mattered was to love God, live by His word, and trust Him unconditionally. Now, do you write that off as something nice for a feeble old lady to talk about? Or do you listen? Show real respect and acknowledge this veteran of life-deserved attention. The words she spoke were true. You will show your true honor and respect by following through on the commitment she has made to serve God, to spend time in prayer, and to support missions, because that was her life. And you know, Granny Broughton, I don't know if any of you know Mabel Johnson from, she had roots back here too somewhere. She didn't have a lot of this world's goods. She was a widow for over 50 years and supported herself in that time. But I know she gave more to missions and supporting other ministries than what she lived on, because that was her life. So my challenge to them, if you really want to honor her, do some of that yourself. That's how you would say, you know, she had something there. She knew something. And then the Bible is very clear on the next one. Parents should be honored. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Honoring parents is the only command in Scripture that promises long life as a reward. So Paul instructs in his letter to the Colossians, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now, we need to honor our parents in both actions and attitudes. Jesus was very upset by the attitude of the Pharisees. And I want to read from Matthew chapter 15 in regards to this. Matthew chapter 15, the Pharisees came to Jesus complaining that his disciples were not washing their hands before they ate. And the reply of Jesus to them in verse 3, he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me has been dedicated to the temple, is released from honoring his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your traditions. So instead of giving some support to their parents, they said, oh, that money I decided to give to the church. Sorry, Mom and Dad, I just don't have anything left to look after you. So I've committed it to give to the church. Thus, he says, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your traditions. Hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So Jesus is emphasizing the commandment, honor your parents, and not accepting excuses for not doing that by making something religious out of it. Now note here that honoring the parents included some financial support for them if necessary. And it's interesting how often when we go through this list today, money is involved in honoring. It's called an honorarium. Where does that word come from? You know, but to follow through on honoring, sometimes it involves a cost. Parents who are ungodly can still be respected for their position in the family. It is similar to respecting those in public office. As David honored King Saul, even when Saul was rebelling against God, so children can honor their parents, even if they're not following God. You can show respect. There's the position involved. However, if a parent ever instructs a child to do something that clearly contradicts God's commands, the child must learn to obey God rather than man. Because honoring God comes first above everything. But we're going to end up with that thought, so you know where I'm going. Remember, honoring your parents is a commandment with a promise. Then the Bible says we are to honor all those in authority. And I'll invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, and starting at verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as servants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor..." I'm going to put in the Queen and the Prime Minister and the Premier and the Mayor, and down it goes. "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh." Quite a list of all those who are worthy of honor and respect due to their position and authority. So when we disagree with their policies and decisions that they make, we need to express our better ideas ourselves in a respectful way. That way, showing honor to the position that they hold. Then the Bible has quite a bit to say about honoring those who are in authority in the church. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, You shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. And the laborer deserves his wages. Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. So, because they have this position of honor, you shouldn't accept every rumor that is spread about them. And don't spread the gossip. But any charge against them, because they have this position, you need to make sure of the accusations. Two or three witnesses. This passage also shows that the minister's support is a matter of right, not of compassion or of kindness. The animals that labored had a right to the fruit of their labors. Claude, the Indian preacher, after his conversion, now I need to say this is an old story that I'm sharing. After his conversion a few years ago in Russia, America, began to sing hymns and tell gospel truths to his idol-worshipping fellow countrymen. The old medicine men there wept, cowed by the presence of God's Holy Spirit. Claude said his companions, "It is too bad for you to chop wood. You ought to tell the people these things all the time." "I should not have anything to eat if I did not chop wood," he replied. "We will chop harder and later and get enough for you to live on too," they said. So Claude began to preach and teach. His support was salmon. Salmon for his breakfast, dinner, and supper, every day, all the year. This was the salary of the first Protestant missionary to Alaska. Soon he had 60 scholars and an audience of from 400 to 500. God's Spirit was poured out. There were 60 converted, and hundreds gave up their devil worship because they didn't think it was right that the man that was teaching them would have to go out and chop wood to stay alive. Then some memoirs from Bishop Wilberforce. When addressing a body of working men, Bishop Wilberforce, speaking of the nobility of true work, said, "Though I am addressing an audience of working men, I may claim to be a working man myself, for I work as hard as any man present here." A voice called out from the middle of the room, "But how about the pay?" A burst of general laughter followed, which was with some little difficulty hushed down by those who thought the bishop would be offended. But not a cloud passed across his face. His eye twinkled, and he joined himself in the general merriment. And then when silence was restored, without a moment's hesitation, and the smile still playing across his face, he said, "My friend asks, how about the pay? I will tell him at once. You see, I am paid the same whether I work or whether I don't." His audience saw at once the significance of his works, of his words. Work done for its own sake, not for greed or necessity. And the rafters of the roof above us rang again with cheers for the bishop. I am paid the same whether I work or whether I don't. Well, finally, in conclusion, already we get to the good one. Our Savior is worthy of honor. And for this, I'm going to turn to the book of Malachi. Hear God's complaint as recorded in the word of the Lord of Israel by Malachi. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, but how have we polluted you? When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show favor? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among all the nations. God says, where is my honor? How are you showing honor to God? Remember Samuel, as a young boy, received a word from the God at nighttime, and he had to go and tell Eli, the high priest, what God said to him. It was not a good message. Eli, the high priest, had sons who were serving as priests at the tabernacle, but they were not following God's instructions. They were taking parts of the sacrifice that belonged to God and taking it for themselves. They were lying with the women at the gate, the ones who came to worship, and they took advantage of them as their position, doing all kinds of terrible things as priests at the tabernacle. And Eli allowed this to carry on. He talked to his sons about him, but he didn't stop them. He didn't fire them. Didn't relieve them of their duties. He let it carry on. And God's message to Eli was, you honor your sons more than you honor me. And God's promise to Eli at that time was, those who honor me, I will honor. God wants to be first. He deserves to be first. And in Malachi, we have this record. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possessions. Then once more you will see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Now, in conclusion, I want to read for you from a children's Bible. It's a children's Bible by Henry A. Sherman, and he's compiled some selections out of the book of Revelation. And I'd just like to close this message by reading that selection. Excuse me. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. May a blessing be granted you and peace from him who is and was and ever shall be, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first of the dead to be restored to life, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. I, John, your brother who shares with you in the distress, the dominion, and the patient endurance which we have been through our faith in Jesus, found myself in the island called Patmos because of my loyalty to God's message and to the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's Day, I was under the influence of the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet calling, "Write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches." Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me, and on turning around, I saw seven golden lamps, and in the midst of one, like a son of man, clothed in a long robe, and with a belt of gold around his breast. His head and hair were white as wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze melted in the furnace. His voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. A sharp two-edged sword came out from his mouth, and his face shone like the sun in its full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. Therefore, write down what you see, and what is now, and what shall be hereafter. As for the secret meaning of the seven stars which you have seen in my right hand, and of the seven golden lamps, the seven stars represent the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lamps represent the seven churches." After this, I saw a door opening into heaven, and the voice like a trumpet, which I had previously heard, talking with me and said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the future." At once I found myself under the influence of the Spirit, and there stood a throne in heaven, whose appearance was like a diamond or ruby, and one was sitting on the throne. Encircling the throne was a rainbow, which looked like an emerald. Also around the throne were 24 other thrones, and on those thrones were seated 24 elders, clothed in white robes, with golden crowns upon their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and voices and peals of thunder, while in front of the throne were seven flaming torches, which were the seven spirits of God. In front of the throne, there appeared to be a sea of glass, which looked like crystal. In the space about the throne and encircling it were four living creatures, and day and night they never cease chanting, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and ever shall be." Then I saw, lying at the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, a book sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel saying in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?" But no one was worthy, either in heaven or on earth or under the earth, to open the book or to look into it. So I began to weep bitterly because there was no one found worthy to open the book or to look into it. But one of the elders said to me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of Judah's tribe, the Scion of David, he has won the right to open the book and its seven seals." Then in the space between the throne and the four living creatures, I saw a lamb standing among the elders. He seemed to have been slain, but he had seven horns and seven eyes, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he took the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each with his harp and with his golden bowls full of incense, which represent the prayers of the saints. They were singing this new song: "Thou art worthy to take the book and open its seals, for thou wast slain, and by thy blood thou hast ransomed for God men from every tribe and language and people and nation, and has made them a kingdom and priests for our God, and they shall reign on the earth." And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and of the living creatures, and of the elders, numbering 10,000 times 10,000s, and thousands of thousands, crying aloud, "Worthy is the Lamb that has been slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature and in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all things that are in them crying, "To him who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and praise and dominion forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Who is deserving honor? All glory, all praise, and honor goes to him. He is the Lord. Amen. God bless you.